Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and today we'll talk about what else but income tax return filing, which is bound to be on many taxpayers' minds this week. After all, the due date for filing income tax returns for the financial year 2021-22 is almost here. And any delay on your part now, that is, any delay beyond July 31st, would mean shelling out late filing fees of Rs. 5,000, besides having to deal with other monetary inconveniences. And if you haven't completed the exercise already, you need to hurry before technical glitches on the official e-filing portal that could happen due to the rush to file returns lead to delays. And if you have postponed this task to the 11th hour, you need to be extra careful to ensure that you declare your income from all sources and claim all tax breaks that you might have missed earlier. In this episode, we will focus on all tax benefits related to housing or accommodation and how you can claim them while filing your returns. To help us understand the benefits and tax rules, we have with us today Vaibhav Sankhya, Chartered Accountant and Founder, Million Day Scam Family Office. Hi Vaibhav, welcome to this very important episode of Simply Save.
Thank you, Preeti. Glad to be here.
So Vaibhav, let's start with one of the most commonly claimed housing or let's say accommodation related tax benefit, which is HRA, which most employees are entitled to as part of their pay package. So let's say an employee has not claimed tax benefits on HRA while submitting investment proofs to employer in, let's say, January or February, she can still claim the exemption while filing returns now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So even if the HRA exemption is not reflected in the Form 16, the employees can claim the same while filing the tax return. They will have to make the calculations themselves. There is a formula to calculate the exempt portion of HRA. So typically, the way you calculate your HRA exemption is calculate the least of the three. The first is the first amount is the actual HRA. The second amount is rent paid minus 10% of basic salary, and the third amount is 40% of your basic salary or 50% of your basic salary, depending on whether you are in a metro or a non-metro.
Right.
So, while filing your income tax return, you make an adjustment to your taxable salary in your ITR 1 or ITR 2 accordingly and reflect the exempt portion of HRA separately in your tax return. It is possible that the taxpayer may receive a notice subsequently from the income tax department because there would be a mismatch between the data uploaded by the employer and the return filed by you. Because the employer has not considered the HR exemption. But taxpayers need not worry. As long as their claim is genuine, they can always, substantiate their claim by, sharing the copies of their rent agreement, bank statements, etc. If and when a query later comes from the income tax department.
All right. So, as a general rule, there is no need to attach any. In fact, you should not attach any documents to your tax return form, right? There is no
scope of
submitting any documents along with your tax return.
Absolutely right, Preeti. So, in fact, you cannot submit additional documents along with your tax return. So, nothing to be submitted while filing the tax return. Just ensure that you make the calculations correctly and reflect the same in your tax return. That's it. But preserve the documents. I would highly recommend that the taxpayers scan those relevant documents and keep it in their tax folder for the year, so that later, if and when a query comes, they don't have to search for the documents at that point in time.
Right. So let's say an employee is paying rent to her parents, In that case, what kind of documentation should she have in place?
There is nothing in the tax law which restricts a taxpayer from paying rent to his parents. However, you know, in such cases, we would advise that the documentation should be, you know, even more robust than otherwise. So, a copy of rent receipt or rent agreement, that will definitely help. But beyond that, it is important that there are periodic entries, not necessarily monthly only, but there are periodic entries in the bank statement which reflects, you know, payment of rent from the taxpayer or by the taxpayer to the parent. That should be good enough for claiming exemption on HRA on rent paid to parents.
And this rent paid should reflect in parents' tax return forms, is it?
Great point. Absolutely. So if the parents are required, if their total income is above the threshold, either 2.5 lakh rupees, 1.5 or 5 lakh rupees, as the case may be, then they should definitely report the income in their tax return.
Okay.
And then they can, of course, claim, you know, deduction on, you know, property taxes, then 30% deduction on, you know, ad hoc deduction on repairs and maintenance. So the entire amount of rent doesn't get added. It is rent minus property taxes, and again, the balance into 30%, there's a deduction for repairs and maintenance. So there is a calculation involved. But yes, they should report that in their tax return if they are filing that, if they are required to file their tax return.
All right. Then let's turn to tax benefits on home loans. Again, something that is very commonly claimed by taxpayers. So actually, most taxpayers are aware of tax deductions of up to rupees 1.5 lakh. Under Section 80C on principal repayment and up to rupees 2 lakh under 24B on interest paid. But could you also talk about some lesser known aspects of these tax breaks?
Absolutely, yeah. So one is, you know, what constitutes interest. We have seen many cases where taxpayers, you know, paid a certain sum of money, let's say 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 in some cases, to their housing finance company to make a change to the reference rate, right? And, you know, obtain a benefit of reduced interest rate. So any sum paid to the housing finance company, like a fee or a charge, qualifies as interest. So if anyone has paid an extra sum for resetting the interest rate or reducing the interest rate, that extra sum or fee paid to the housing finance company or the bank qualifies as interest, and taxpayer should not forget to claim that as deduction. That is considered interest. So actual interest plus these fees or charges, that is your total interest. Another aspect is pre-construction period interest. So pre-construction period interest is the interest for the period starting from the date of borrowing till 31st March immediately preceding the year in which possession is obtained. Date of borrowing is 1st of January 2018 and possession was obtained in let's say July of 2021.
Okay.
Right. So here the pre-construction period for tax purposes means the period starting from the period starting from 1st of Jan 2018 till 31st March immediately preceding the year of possession. So the year of possession is 21-22, like July 21 means financial year 21-22. 31st March immediately preceding that is 31st March 2021.
Okay.
The interest paid during this 3 years and 3 months, all right, 2018 full year, 2019 and 2020 full year, and then 3 months of 2021. So 3 years, 3 months in this case. So the entire interest paid in this this period can be claimed as deduction in five equal installments starting from the year of possession.
Okay.
So now what happens, Preeti, is these days, given the increased cost of homes in most large cities, right, an individual ends up taking a loan of a much larger amount, like 30 lakhs, 40 lakhs, 50 lakhs, even much higher than that.
Right, right.
Now, they are anyway exceeding, that 2 lakh rupees, their annual interest. And if the property is self-occupied, then there is no incremental benefit of pre-construction period because your interest for the year itself is crossing 2 lakh rupees. However, in case the property is not self-occupied, it is given on rent, then the taxpayer can, actually deduct the entire amount of interest while calculating the taxable rental income.
Okay.
So in such cases, this pre-construction period interest will help taxpayers in reducing their income tax liability. Another aspect is I see that sometimes the individuals borrow money even for down payment, or take help from their parents, right? So you have a home loan, then you also have a personal loan from the bank, or a hand loan in a way from friends or relatives or family members, for making payment of the down payment of stamp duty and all that. So even interest on such loans can be claimed as deduction. I think most taxpayers only think that, the deduction is available only on a home loan, but that's not the case.
Home loan from a financial institution. Usually tend to think that it's available only on home loans from financial institutions.
Yes, absolutely not. So even a personal loan taken, or even if the loan is taken from friend or a relative, qualifies for deduction, as long as the loan is taken, of course, using normal banking channels and all. So important to be aware of this. I think beyond that, we also see, Preeti, that a lot of times the properties are co-owned with spouses, right? And in such situations, sometimes we see clients, taking benefit based on, what works best for them, every year. So sometimes it is only one of the spouses claim reduction, some other years, some other spouse claim reduction, and sometimes it is split equally and so on. So here I would advise caution that don't change that every year.
Okay.
Arrive at a ratio and then stick to that ratio year after year. If you are changing that ratio, let's say first year you claim everything in husband's account and the second year you claim everything in the wife's tax return, it is very likely that your claim may get rejected and you will be required to pay taxes, interest, and maybe even penalties. So in all such cases, try to stick to the ratio. Keep it same year after year.
Okay. So on these lines, are there any other such mistakes that you've seen such taxpayers make every year?
Yeah, I think one of the things we see is, a lot of taxpayers don't report their, self-occupied properties in the tax return. I think it's a good practice to report. Even if there is no rental coming from a property, actually taxpayers are required to report all the properties, whether they are let out or not. We see that a lot of taxpayers, not doing it. Ensure that in the house property schedule, you report all the properties you own, except of course lots of land. So all the properties are really meant, like whether they are rented or not.
Okay, okay. Even if you're staying there, it has to be reported in that schedule.
Absolutely right. And of course, I'm talking about ITR 2.
Right.
Another aspect is whenever a property jointly owned, whether with spouse or someone else, ensure that you stick to the ownership ratio. If you're changing the ownership ratio, it could mean that you have either acquired additional stake in the property or you have sold a part of your stake. And if there is a sale, then of course there are implications on capital gain side. So ensure that you're very consistent with what you are doing. And if you are making a deviation, then the deviation is very well thought out.
Okay.
And lastly, as you may be aware, that there is an overall cap of 2 lakh rupees in terms of, you know, how much you can offset the loss from property against other sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have a rented property. Let's say your annual rental is 10 lakh rupees and your, you know, annual interest on that property is, let's say, 25 lakhs.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say on a net basis, you know, there is a loss of roughly 18 lakh rupees on that property, right, after factoring property taxes and, you know, the ad hoc deduction for repairs and maintenance. So ensure that, you know, that balance, you can set off only 2 lakh rupees against your other income like salary or interest. The balance interest or balance loss actually gets carried forward to the subsequent year. Ensure that if you have any such balance, you are carrying it forward from the prior year and the current year's process, you carry it to the next year. So that as and when in future you have positive income, you don't pay taxes on it, and you know it gets adjusted against the losses which you have brought forward.
All right. Finally, can taxpayers generally avail of all the tax benefits that they are eligible for, but might have missed at the time of claiming, at the time of filing investment declaration?
Absolutely. If any benefit is not reflected in your Form 16, at the time of filing the return, the taxpayers can claim it. So it is important that the taxpayers can take this activity of filing the returns very seriously. If you don't pay attention, it may so happen that you may lose the tax benefits which you could have otherwise claimed. And, you know, you can lose thousands or tens of thousands or sometimes lakhs of rupees. So all the tax benefits relating to your property, rental, housing loan, if not reflected in the Form 16, either because you did not submit or because, you know, some error from the employer, no worries. You know, be confident. You know, report those in your tax return. Ensure that you keep a backup of the documents, you know, with you, so that in case, if and when there is a query from the tax department later, you know, you have the documents readily available with you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for all the information and advice, Vaibhav. It was, I'm sure people who are rushing to file their tax returns at the last minute will find this useful. Thanks a
always
lot for being with us. Thank you for being with us on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And with that, it's a wrap of this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to MoneyControl.com.